The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. Good evening to you. So, you'd like to believe in God, but lately you've heard me wail against the recent presidential election, and you wonder, shouldn't we all be good sports and accept the results? Well, sure, you mean the way the Democrats and mainstream media have been good sports, accepting the results of the 2016 election these past 4 years? Unfortunately, and very ironically, what they lied about regarding Trump stealing the election is actually true of the Biden campaign. Now, I know that sounds like a very easy thing to say. What can I tell you, my friends? It's just the plain truth, but relax. Have no fear. Who says your old pal Bob can't respect the election results? Here, how's this? All hail the thief. But it's always much more significant to hail my good friend and rotating co-host. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. Let me say happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. God bless America, and come quickly, Lord Jesus.
And Jim, let me say all those things to you. Well, it's still legal to say all those things.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they get all chambers of Congress and the government, and they're going to start coming against Thanksgiving or Christmas, or let me put it this way, it won't resemble Thanksgiving or Christmas as we've understood it.
Yeah, and a thing we talked about years ago, just the whole, I forget what they call it, but you know, if you had a conservative show, then you had to give equal time to the liberal side. Remember all
that was called the Fairness Doctrine. Yeah, they were trying to bring about the Fairness Doctrine.
Yeah. Expect that to rear its ugly head. But I want to say again, happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you've had a great week. Leslie and I are actually out here in the desert in La Quinta. Only a few hours from you.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we're out here visiting her sister for Thanksgiving. And so we're having a good time. The weather out here is very nice in the desert. So we're enjoying Thanksgiving. And I do want to say this. There's a few things I'm thankful for, because I know we're going to have to get into some difficult material tonight, but
we want to.
I'm thankful for the love of God and his display of that love through his son Jesus. I'm thankful for my family and my friends. I'm thankful that I still live in the greatest country in the world for now.
For another 5 minutes.
And I'm thankful for the president, who is still the president for now, who appointed 3 justices to the Supreme Court, the last one, Amy Coney Barrett, who I am so pleased that she's there. I hope she stays there, because if we lose the Senate, then they will just turn everything inside out. But I'm thankful for those things. Those were great victories for me personally. And so I am still a very, very grateful man. As much trouble as there is on the horizon, I'm grateful for all that God has blessed me with.
Well, I'm very grateful.
So I wanted
too.
To just.
Yeah, I look back over the many years I've been alive in this country, and I, even if my life ended tomorrow, I have so much to be thankful for. My concern at this point is the kind of country we're leaving to our children and grandchildren. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving,
exactly.
Three of them, actually. And really? Some of them were a little on the crowded side. And we did have some family members who wanted to wear masks. I was not one of them. The Thanksgiving that took place in my home, one of them, we just said, we're going to treat you like adults here. And so there was not always social distancing. We did not. I actually read those rules aloud last week on the show. We did not. Some people who came, we said, if you want to follow those rules, if you're comfortable, that's fine. You do what you want. I did not follow them. And I must confess, I lost no sleep over the fact that I wasn't following the rules of His Majesty King Newsom. In fact, last week we inaugurated our King Newsom update, Jim. We'll be having our King Newsom music in future shows, too.
You know, and speaking of, and you guys have it much worse out here than where I live, which is in the great state of Texas. And I'll talk about Texas a little bit more in a minute. But it just, there's hysteria, there's craziness. I think, what is wrong with you people? Now, I just read this today. A friend of mine posted this, and he's a very reliable source. And this is what he wrote. Johns Hopkins University did a study, and the results of their study show that total deaths per year did not increase in 2020. It was the same as it has been in recent years. However, deaths from heart disease, which is the number one killer in our country, and all other major causes of death dropped exponentially. But the total number of deaths remained the same as COVID filled in the gap. So I think we should say a big shout out to China. Thank you for healing so many of our diseases by sending COVID here.
Well, the logic of that one's going to be hard for some to follow, but.
But these, those are, I mean, Johns Hopkins is a pretty, you know, pretty reputable source. And it's just kind of ironic, isn't it, that the numbers didn't go up overall. Yet,
well, again, the disease has a 99% recovery rate, and there's certain age group. Once you have to be in the 80s or the 90s to have a high percentage of catching it. And with the regular flu, you have a much broader span of ages and little kids that have died of the flu. I am afraid, though, that we've developed a template and that now every year, even beyond the vaccines, we're going to hear this, whoa, jumping Jiminy, flu season. Let's get out the color-coded chart again. Are we purple? Are we red? Are we orange? Are we 25%? Once there's this much power in the belly of politicians, they don't cede it easily.
You know, I'm out here, as I mentioned, at my sister-in-law's for Thanksgiving, and we had a small gathering. We didn't break the California rule. There were not more than 10 people at our table.
Yeah, but were you 6 feet apart at all time with masks, Jim? Come on now, fess up.
From the person across, yes, I was 6 feet away from the person across the table from me. And but one of the young men that was there, he's actually the very close boyfriend of a friend of mine's daughter. They're not married yet, but probably going to at some point. If he'd quit pressuring them, they'd probably just do it. But anyways, a young man, and he works in the pharmaceutical industry, of all things. And I got to talking to him one-on-one a little bit before dinner. He was real real interested in some of the things that I've done and been a part of. Anyway, at one point he said, you know, whenever they get a vaccine that they're going to universally authorize and say, this is the one, he said, I will not take it. This is a guy that's in the pharmaceutical industry.
Now, that's interesting, because I'm hearing all kinds of things from Christians, from calling it the mark of the beast to running the gamut. Now, why would somebody, tell me, though, because this is more interesting to me, why would somebody in the pharmaceutical market say that he wouldn't take it? Was it because it came from Trump in his mind, or is it because he has a real medical reason for being concerned?
No, I I think primarily it's resistance to the government telling him what to do. And I said, well, you're right. My body, my choice.
I do agree. So, I don't like the government saying, because I do believe they will start telling you you can't fly planes or you can't go into restaurants unless you prove you've had the vaccine. It'll replace the mask. And I don't like that. On the other hand, I've been taking vaccines all my life, and I'm hearing Christians say, yeah, well, this is like taking the 666. And I need to just clarify something. My friends, if you feel that that's too much government overreach and you want to protest by not taking it, I'm with you. We've got to be very careful. When the Bible talks about the mark of the Antichrist, it is a mark specifically referring to the fact that you're worshiping a human being, political leader, one that will be revealed someday in the future. And it's your way of calling him God. Now, unless or until King Newsom declares himself to be God, which I guess could happen at any time, the way he's going. But at the moment, that's not going happening. I wish Christians would stop calling this the mark of the beast. That being said, I'm kind of an agnostic at the moment because I'm hearing all these things running the gamut about these different vaccinations, and I want to know what's in them. I want to know, are they marking us with some kind of code? Are they using it for contact trace? There are things that concern me, but I'm not ready to call this the mark of the beast because that's something very specific in Scripture. And could this be a time in our history that's similar to that? Could this be a dress rehearsal for the mark of the beast someday? It certainly could be. But we still have to wait till the actual facts come in. And we do not yet know that we're that last generation of the second coming of Christ anyway. We don't know that to be true. It could be. We don't know that to be true.
No one knows. No one knows. And he wasn't certainly coming from that angle at all because he's...
he was just concerned about government overreach and things like that.
And the other thing he said, I think if someone... is in a threatening situation, then good, take the thing. But he says, I don't think it should be universal, and I don't think everybody needs it. And
how have you worked through this yourself? Here you are in Texas in a few months. You're offered the vaccine.
Yeah.
Are you going to take it, or is this something you're still thinking about like I am? Where are you on this?
You know what? I'm a little bit, that 60s rebel in me comes out all the time, and I just think, If
the old Bob Dylan, the times are changing.
No, I most likely will not take a vaccine. And the other thing is, Bob, I've told you this. I'm just very fortunate. I don't want to say lucky, and I get tired of Christians saying I'm blessed. But somewhere in between lucky and blessed, I'm very fortunate with genetics. I've never taken a flu shot, and I've never got the flu.
Okay, well, we may be uncertain about whether we're taking vaccines, but I am certain we're about to take a break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5.
During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
On 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I always love playing my Christmas bumper music, especially this year, because King Newsom has not yet outlawed Christmas, although I'm sure a bunch of regulations are right around the corner about how we could celebrate it in a healthy way, which will basically mean you're not allowed to enjoy it. But I always enjoy Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome back to our program.
Thanks. And I want to switch gears and tell you a little story. You know, I live in Texas, and in many states, marijuana has become legal.
Which explains how so many people voted for Joe Biden, the ones who did vote for him in reality, I guess.
Yeah. He probably won't even deny that he inhaled, but...
he probably doesn't understand what it is. There's nothing for him to deny.
In Texas, however, there are farmers now that are growing it. It's legal to grow it, and then they can sell it, you know, to other businesses out of state. It's kind of a strange thing.
So they can't smoke it in Texas, but they can grow it in Texas.
Yeah, and so this is a sad story. There was a farmer had a crop of marijuana growing out there, and a fire started, unfortunately, and it burnt up the crop, and it sent this huge cloud of marijuana smoke up into the air.
Did that make the whole town go high by inhaling the smoke?
No, that's out in the country. However, there was a flock of birds migrating.
Oh, my goodness.
And they flew through the cloud, and the farmers looked up and saw this erratic pattern of behavior and flight with these birds, and so apparently... the smoke left no turn unstoned.
Oh, geez. There you go. All right. You had to set up
Brandon.
A long time on that one. Brandon was catching it, though, and he was right there with the
He was ready. I gave my heads up. He was ready.
Oh, okay. I thought I saw you guys chatting on the phone for a while before I went on there. I said, I wonder what's coming down the pipe.
We have a good working relationship. I want you to know that. So,
that's great for you, Jim. He's supposed to be my board up. Where's my working relationship? No. Actually, Brendan does a great job for me every week. He really does.
He does a great job. Now this, however, is a very true story. It just kind of gripped me. I have my best friend out there in San Antonio. His son is a businessman, a wonderful guy. I've known him most of his life, and he's a real smart, real successful businessman. He has three kids, and they had just recently in the fall, there was a festival. They do this a lot out there, and I think this one was for corn or some sort of crop, and they go out and you know, people are selling their wares, and it's like, you know, going to the fair, and there were groups that were representing different political factions. And this is what his 11-year-old daughter said to him. You know, it's funny, Dad. You can tell whether someone's a Democrat or Republican. He said, how's that? He said, Republicans always have American flags. Democrats never do.
Well, these days, that's certainly true. There was a time when both parties were flying them, but with all this cancel culture stuff, the flag's going to – it's right there on the list.
I just thought it was profound that an 11-year-old picked up on that.
Well, what does the Bible say? Out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I thought, wow, she's smarter than some adults that I know. So that was
Jim.
Quite
she's
a thing.
Smarter than about 50% of the adults in this country.
The ones without the flags, yeah.
And particularly the ones with graduate degrees.
You know, we've been talking about this a lot. There was a time when I thought, you know, I really want my grandkids to have the opportunity to go to college and get an education. And now I'm kind of the other way. I'm thinking, no, I don't want them to go get indoctrinated. I don't want them to go be force-fed Kool-Aid. You know, go to a trade school or go to, you know, some kind of a place, but just stay out of that whole system. In fact, and again, a very close friend of mine, he was my best man 39 years ago, lives in San Diego, there where you are, and retired from San Diego State University. And he was there. He worked in the testing department, worked for 22 years, and then retired a few years ago. And I was talking to him just recently, called him on his birthday, and he said, the education system is no longer an education system. It's an indoctrination system.
That's absolutely true. And again, for those of you listening, Jim and I both have degrees and graduate degrees ourselves, but we're talking we're not against education as a phenomenon. It's just that it's been a while since that phenomenon has worked out very well, in our opinion.
It's been hijacked. And
yeah,
I kind of blame my own generation.
Yeah.
I grew up in the 60s and we rebelled against everything. We threw out absolutes and we bought into relativism and we rebelled against the church, rebelled against the government, and all of that stuff. And then is my generation are the people that grew up and became the professors in these institutions. And so I kind of take the blame for some of that.
Well, you know the old saying, they say if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. So that's part of the problem.
I'm the exception to that, though, Bob, because here's the deal. I never did drugs. And so that I have a different recollection of the 60s. And because I didn't warp that out with a lot of hallucinogens. And I also, you know, I didn't even nonconform very well. I tried to nonconform, but I just couldn't be
certainly a nonconformist these days, but you're nonconformist to all the politically correct nonsense.
Yeah. And so, you know, I wasn't really mainstream in my thinking on much of anything back then. And I became a believer at the age of 16, and that changed everything in my view of thinking. At any rate, I think it was my generation that really messed things up. And maybe we'll survive and another generation will come along and say, you know what, this stuff is garbage. We need to make some changes here.
Yeah, well, it was my generation too. So on behalf of our generation, everybody, we apologize that we messed things
apologize.
Up. We will be right back and try not to mess things up as much when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Always great to be joined by my good friend, Jim Barrier. And Jim, are you ready for our stump Jim Barrier with the music game?
Uh-oh.
Brendan says, once again, okay, I can play too, so I do not know what this is.
The only hint I gave was it's a Christmas song, so.
Oh, well, that really narrows it down.
Yeah, Bob's got the edge on me already.
Oh, I'm not sure all right, about that. Well,
okay, let it spin.
Hopefully it won't be the Barking Dogs or Babs singing Jingle Bells.
Oh, no, I'm better than that.
No.
I don't think we could torture our audience like that. All right, go ahead, Brendan, let us have it.
When I'm worried and I can't sleep.
It's from the movie White Christmas, but I don't know that this was actually a Christmas carol, though, but it's from the movie White Christmas. It's not the song.
It has nothing
White
to do with Christmas, but it's always
it's
played
not
during
the
Christmas.
Song White Christmas.
I can't hear the song. Let me hear the song. Is it the Bells of St. Mary?
No.
Okay,
You got the right actor. It is Bing Crosby. It's the movie White Christmas, but it's not the song White Christmas. And I think it's just called Counting My Blessings, isn't it?
Right. That's correct.
All right, yay!
Oh, Bob wins. You're on a roll. That's 3 in a row, I think.
What do I win? Do I win the rotisserie or the luggage or the curtain where Carol Merrill is standing? I don't know.
I don't know, but it comes with Ginsu knives. So, wow, way to go. Well, that one was out of my league. You're gonna have to lighten up a little bit.
You're such a music guru. The fact that anything could be out of your league is amazing.
Well, if you play some good old rock and roll, then you're back in my wheelhouse.
Well, that's true. But it is Christmas time.
Okay.
And as long as the governor's gonna let us celebrate at least a little of it, I feel we should.
You know, at dinner the other night was my sister-in-law's next door neighbor, and he owns a restaurant in it's more in the San Jose, but in the Bay Area. And he's been very successful. He's been in the restaurant business since he was a kid because his father was. And he has his own restaurant. It's done very, very well. He was furious. I mean, I happened to run into him earlier in the day, and he just started unloading. And he said, you know, They come down on us and they tell us we have to put in plexiglass. We have to do all of these safety measures and we have to put in sanitation stations. And we spent all kinds of money meeting their standards and then they shut us down.
They've reopened. They've shut them down. They've reopened. Every time they're ready to start doing better, they get shut down again.
Well, he's used to a pretty healthy clientele and he can't deal with it. So he's just on hold right now. He's in limbo. And he's losing a ton of money. And he said, so who's going to reimburse me? You know, how am I going to recover from this? You know, what if I lose it completely?
They don't want to reimburse him in the sense of keeping him in business. They want to reimburse him in the sense of making him dependent on government so they can have a two-tiered system. The very wealthy, the very poor. Yeah. It is the middle class, people like him in between, that they want to shut out. And that's what true socialism looks like in the world. And when people talk about Scandinavia, that's not real socialism. That's blended with capitalism.
Venezuela.
I'm talking about Venezuelan type of socialism, Cuban type of socialism. Just ask anybody from Venezuela or Cuba that escaped and got to the United States. They'll tell you.
Yeah, you know, Cubans understand it. The Cubans that have got to this country legally, I might add, hate the whole concept of our government going socialist. You know, they drank the Kool-Aid. They've been sold a bill of goods, and it's just sad that people can't see through it. And it's discouraging for me. But friends of mine who own businesses, who are having to shut down their businesses, people who have worked very, very hard, and despite what one former president said that they didn't build anything, they did build it. And they're hurting. And I don't know for some of them if they, you know, see any hope of ever recovering as long as there are these fools in power. And that's strong language, but man, I look at your governor and I think the guy's a fool. And
well, he wasn't too worried himself because he and his buddies went to a nice swanky French restaurant and they didn't realize somebody was taking a picture. They were not wearing masks. They were sitting elbow to elbow. They were not 6 feet apart. This is a joke. It just shows that they don't take this drivel that comes out of their own mouths seriously. But they have such contempt
for
everybody else. Of course there is. And he wasn't the only one. We have the mayor in Chicago that she got a haircut. Nobody else was allowed to get a haircut because she's in the public eye. It just goes on and on and on.
And by the way, my sister-in-law, who they've done very well, she says, I've eaten at that restaurant. And she told me what one plate would cost for one person. And it was shocking. I've never eaten at a place that cost what this place cost that Gavin and his friends were.
Yeah, well, you know, these swanky, usually these fancy, fifi, fufu restaurants that are overpriced are also under-portioned. Give me a Big Mac and a quarter pounder with cheese any day. And I'll take
a large fry with that. Give me a taco stand anywhere in San Diego. And I've said this.
Because it beats Tex-Mex. That's one thing. See, there's one thing Jim Barrier will admit that we still do better in California. We have authentic, at least in San Diego, authentic Mexican food, not this Tex-Mex stuff that they have in Texas.
Well, that's what I was about to say, Bob. Every time I come to town in San Diego, I tell my wife, the worst Mexican food in this city is better than any Mexican food in the entire state of Texas. And
Jim, our Taco Bell chain is better than anything in Texas.
Oh, we've got
and I don't
Taco
even
Bell
call that Mexican
Texas.
Food.
No,
I love Taco Bell, but when I'm with my friends and I'm listing choices, I'll say we can do Italian, we can do Chinese, we can do Mexican, we could do Taco Bell. I have it separately on the list. I still like it,
funny.
But it's, I love it, but it's separately on the list. I don't think of it as Mexican food.
Yeah. Well, you are right. That's the one thing. You know, you guys got great weather out here, and you have real Mexican food.
Unfortunately, we have a little town called Sacramento, and therein lies the problem. Okay, you're listening to the Bob Siegel Show with Jim Barrier. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel. As a Christian apologist, I hear scorning and ridicule all the time from Bible skeptics and unbelievers. Some churches will still respond to such people with love and understanding. Others do not.
You Christians are such morons. There's no proof that God exists, and only a pea brain would believe in miracles. Wake up! Step into the 21st century. Besides, Christianity is responsible for most of the world's problems.
find your lack of faith disturbing.
Relax, my friends. That's not the kind of response you'll get from Skyline Church. We welcome you just as you are, with all your doubts, all your questions, and all your concerns. Your problems with religion are understandable, and I promise at Skyline you'll experience the love of Jesus Christ, not the revenge of a Sith Lord.
Skyline Church.
Welcoming in the Christmas season. Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined by Jim Baer. And Jim, I must say, the last time we visited Texas, we did meet with you, and we went to a Mexican restaurant, or Tex-Mex, and the food really wasn't that bad, although it may have been that we were just enjoying each other's company so much that this, as long as we had refillable chips and salsa, that was good enough for us. Who knows?
Yeah. And I, you know, now, as you know, I retired. So this is my first trip to California where I can't go back and tell my congregation that I finally got to eat some real Mexican food, to which they always boo me and throw things at me. But, Tex-Mex is an acquired taste for a Southern Californian. And I finally figured out to explain to people, it's the same thing as out there we have Whataburger. And over here in California, you've got In-N-Out Burger, which is now in Texas. But I said, you know, it's like this. You can get pizza in New York. You can get pizza in Chicago. They're two different cuisines. And people that grow up in those regions, that's the only way it can be prepared is the way they grew up.
We all like what we grew up with
I'll
and
eat
got
both.
Acclimated to.
I'll eat them both.
I agree. Yeah.
But my preference is Southern California-style Mexican food. And I love Baja Mex. I love fish tacos and those things
as long as there's protein and actual meat, as long as it doesn't have those slimy green vegetables on the plate, that's where I draw my line. I'm not a vegetable eater at all.
Okay. So, folks, thank you for tuning in to Bob Siegel Show, where we talk about the important issues
today. It is important. Actually, Jim, it is important because of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gets into full power, they're going to outlaw meat because of the Green New Deal. Because meat comes from cows, and cows contribute to global warming. I'm sorry, I'm just, there's nothing about our lives. They're not going to stop by taking away our cars. They're going to take away our food. And then you watch, you talk about Christmas, they're not going to allow us to put up Christmas lights because they contribute to global warming. It will go on and on and on. And what they're doing again with this COVID stuff, it's a dress rehearsal. We talked earlier about how it could be a dress rehearsal for the Antichrist. Should we be in that generation? We both agreed we don't know. It's definitely a dress rehearsal for the Green New Deal, which is right around the corner.
Oh, yeah, and for government overreach on many other levels. Now, I don't want to run out of time tonight. I just wanted to – we're turning the tables on you, and I'm going to say, Bob, let me have your thoughts about this – election fraud business all the things that Trump's trying to sue and everyone else is saying.
I've been known the last few days to have an opinion or two about it. You could possibly squeeze
let me hear what you think about the results, and can it be changed?
Okay, let me just put it this way. Any thinking person that watched what went on knows Trump won and won by a landslide. But what we sometimes just know with our plain eyes and what a court or different lawyers arguing legalese will accept as admissible evidence, they can be two different things. For example, here we have these several cities where Trump is ahead. They all decide to shut down counting all at the same time.
Right.
And the next morning, an incredible coincidence, Biden is ahead. They have testimony after testimony, sworn affidavit after sworn affidavit of all kinds of fraud, of trucks coming in at the last moment. There's another thing that we look at with the naked eye. How is it that we did so well in the other elections? How is it that we did so well in the House and notwithstanding the fact that they're trying to cheat in Georgia now too, held on to the Senate. And so many of the Biden ballots that came in were not an up-and-down vote going down for the other Democratic candidates. It was just Biden. And in some cases, there were thousands of them, and they were all Biden because these people were doing it so quickly, they didn't even have the time to cheat with a little bit of discretion and moderation and throw in a Trump ballot or two. It just goes on. There was the voter intimidation. There was the fact that poll watchers were not allowed to come in and watch. There was the fact that in Pennsylvania, two of the people on the panel said, we're not going to certify these results because they look fraudulent. And then they were accused. Well, we're going to start calling you a racist, and we're going to start coming after your children, and we're going to come after you. And I believe that they're threatening our Supreme Court justices the same way, so we need to be praying for them. I have hope in God. Like I keep saying, you never know what God might do, but on the human trajectory, I'm not necessarily assuming that we have more literalists on the Supreme Court, that the Supreme Court's going to rule the way we would hope, because I believe they're under an awful lot of pressure and an awful lot of threats, and we just need people to start having some courage and say, you call me whatever you want, you threaten me any way you want, you have any riot you want, I'm still going to stand up and speak the truth. And there are a lot of people that won't do that. There are a lot of spineless Republican politicians who won't do that. There are a lot of spineless evangelical pastors. Well, Jim, as I said, you had to twist my arm. You had to squeeze it out of me. But
you might have an
kicking and screaming, I reluctantly offered my small, modest opinion on all this.
Thank you very much. I think you need to get used to the fact that Joe Biden stole the election fair and square.
There you go. Fair and square. And who knows what they're going to do to old Joe. I've said this before. I think in a month or two, they're going to tell him he served his 4 years. Yeah. He did a great job, and tell him it's time to step down and give a concession speech. And then we have Kamala stepping in.
Get ready to start saying, Madam President.
Hey, Joe, how was your time as president? Oh, well, they tell me I did a good job. That's about all it's going to be.
I loved being a senator. now, this is what troubles me. I don't know why that I should have any hope that the truth will come to light. Listen to these following words. Let me just read this off to you. Benghazi, 30,000 missing emails, Obamagate, Jeffrey Epstein, Hunter Biden's laptop. Why should I have any hope that the truth will come out when none of those scandals have been properly exposed and none of those criminals have been dealt with? Well, Epstein was. If you believe he hanged himself, then you're more naive than I
think
you are.
Let's put a hold on that. Jim's talking about some other scandals that came out before the election with Benghazi quite a few years ago. Put a hold on that. Yeah. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why God, in his infinite wisdom, would only allow a quality program such as the Bob Siegel Show to be on the air once a week instead of every day. Well, my friend, wonder no more now. In addition to our Sunday night broadcast, I am available through a weekday podcast. Yes, you can now catch your old pal Bob Mondays through Fridays. Seriously, people have been asking me for years when my show is going to be on every day. There is a brand new podcast with all the same themes: Christianity, and its relationship to politics and pop culture. You can subscribe by going to my website, bobsiegel.net. That's Bob Siegel, SIEGEL.net. Again, this does not replace our Sunday night show. I will continue to be with you Sundays on 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. But in addition, there will now be a daily podcast. I know this sounds like a money-making commercial. Dude, subscription to the show is free. Now, what do I mean by free? Well, not what a politician means. When I say free, I mean, dude, it doesn't cost you anything.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast, Monday through Friday.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Okay, Jim, so we were talking about the fact that you want to see the truth come to light about the election, but you were in the middle of listing some other things that should have come to light by now. My view is that these things have come to light. They're not being carried on all the networks, but the truth has been pretty plain for anybody who wants to see it. Granted, a lot of them have not been prosecuted or adjudicated, but they really have come to light. But I know you had more to say on that.
Well, and yeah, obviously it comes to light because we know these stories, but there hasn't been any satisfaction to dealing with treason, criminals, and people doing this. I mean, right up to the Hunter Biden laptop thing. I mean, the evidence was there. There are people testifying, but nothing's been done, and nothing will be done. By the way, on that one, another person that was at our dinner table on Thanksgiving is a good friend of mine. He owns many car dealerships across the country. He does very well. We're talking, and he says, "Yeah, I was talking to Mitch McConnell the other day." He's one of the people. He goes out there and he kind of lobbies and stuff, you know. And so he's got, you know, his finger on the pulse. And he said when that laptop thing came up, they kept talking about the big guy. He said, "I called a friend of mine who is in the car business."
The big guy was Uncle Joe, of course.
Well, and he said that's what people are saying. He said, "So I called a friend of mine out there in the business, and he did a trick, and he sent me a picture. The car, Joe Biden has a vintage car in his stable, and the personalized license plate on it says the big guy."
Is that right? That is very interesting.
Yeah. He's the big guy that's referred to in all of that. But what's going to happen with Hunter Biden? Nothing. Especially now that his daddy is.
And what's going to happen with all of the prosecution from Durham and Barr? Nothing. That should have come out long before the election. But even if it had come out before the election, they were going to fix this thing for Biden no matter what.
Yeah.
It began with they used COVID as an excuse to send out mail ballots to people who didn't actually request them. And ballot harvesting, which should be illegal everywhere, but is illegal at least in some places, and they did it anyway. It just goes on and on. It's very obvious, but there are people who do not want to see it, and depending on what kind of media they're listening to, they won't say. All we have to do is have somebody I have pastor friends who simply say we're praying about the election on Facebook. Join us as we pray that the truth will be known on the election. You can't put something like that up on Facebook without Facebook adding a little link right next to that post saying, click in to see the election results. In other words, go to us. We're the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Now, let's bring it up to speed to the moment. You mentioned a little earlier about what's going on in Georgia, and there are two Senate seats that are in jeopardy there. And after this debacle, why should I have any hope that the same thing won't happen in Georgia?
Right. It's a fair question, but one of the concerns that some of the people have is that a lot of Republicans are going to say, well, I don't think it will be fair, so what's the point of voting? If you live in Georgia, my friends, you need to go out and vote and just hope and pray that they'll take a more careful look at it this time. The Republicans should have done a better job guarding these polls in the first place.
Yes, they should.
In some cases, they were, and they actually had the local law throw them out, I must say. But they could have done a better job. It was sloppy. They should never have gotten away with this. I think too many Republicans caved. This COVID thing was just the gift that kept on giving to the governors and mayors that are Democrats, and of course, the Congress.
It really is. It's hard to ignore the conspiracy theorists. But
it's not a
Georgia
conspiracy when you're looking at the facts.
Conspiracy theory means there's no theory here.
This is what actually happened.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do.
I'm saying it. You know, people that say the whole thing. I mean, I have friends that believe, you know, that the Democrats in China got together and they said, okay, we're going to release this thing because it's the only chance.
You know what?
That can't be proven.
But I'm about a hair from that position myself because
that's another thing.
It just seems very obvious to me.
Yeah, but Georgia is absolutely critical now because if the Republicans lose control of the Senate, folks, it's over.
They will pack the Supreme Court. They will add Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. as state, adding four extra senators that are Democrat. They will open up the borders. We will never have a fair, legitimate election again. It'll be over.
Exactly. So this brings me back to you also. I take notes, Bob. You said barring a miracle. Here's what we need. We need a miracle, and miracles happen a lot when God's people pray.
We do, and I hope that those of you that are listening, go to my show last week. I offered a prayer over the air for people to pray along with of exactly how I think we need to pray. Not that there's anything magical about my words, but if you just want some words written out to pray along with, go to my website, bobsiegel.net, and listen to last week's show where I threw out a prayer and asked people to pray along with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, Jim, maybe you have a prayer of your own to offer tonight.
I'm making that same appeal. And for quite some time when I've been on your show, my closing thoughts have been that our only hope is a genuine revival. And that's more true now than it was last month or last year. We need an absolute sweeping spiritual renewal that will change our culture, change our nation, change people's hearts. That's what our hope is. And we're gonna be vocal. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that there's fairness and encourage people to vote, everything. But folks, we must pray. We must pray. And if the church continues to slumber, we will wake up wondering, I almost was about to swear, where in the heck we are.
Well, let me put it this way. Ladies and gentlemen, pray now while it's legal, or you're going to be praying illegally. And if it becomes illegal to pray, I will still pray. But I'd rather keep it legal, wouldn't you? Jim, my friend, it's always good to, you know, at times like this, we just appreciate our friends even more. Thank you for fighting the good fight. Thank you for having some of that 60s gusto that's still rebellious, in this case, for a good cause. And I hope you have as wonderful of a Christmas as you had a Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Bob.
And I will have Jim back the week after Christmas. We'll do a review of 2020. We can already give you the cliff notes. It sucked eggs with two straws. Okay. Those were the cliff notes. But we'll give you more detail the last December. All right. I'll see you next week, everybody.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.